If you would be so kind as to take your Bibles. Open them up to Romans 10. Verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Philip was being sent. This was the desert place, and he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, the eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to the people, go and join this chariot. Again, he said. So Philip prayed to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture in the reading was this. Like a sheep who is led to slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. That's Isaiah 53:11. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth. And beginning with this scripture, he told the good news of Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and he said, see, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way, rejoicing. Philip was sent. Philip was an apostle in the sense that he was a sent one, small a apostle. He was not one of Jesus' 11-12 disciples that Jesus appointed as apostles. But the word apostle strictly means a sent one, a messenger. He was not a large A apostle, he was a small A apostle. There are no large A apostles. Scroll back to, if you've got a device, go ahead and scroll. Otherwise, turn back to John 17.
Okay.
John 17, verses 19 through 21. This is Jesus' prayer in the garden. Thank you. years after he was crucified. He was still praying for us. Just as he was in heaven interceding for us, he was praying for us at that time.
Hearing through the word of Christ.
know the baby.
Of course, with joy.
Well, I was like, you know, this.
will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then we'll be right back. We are closer and closer to that day. Romans 11. Adam Levin says, so I ask, if they stumble in order that they might fall, by no means. Rather do their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. So he's talking about when he says, I'm making jealous of a birth of not a nation. The Jews were a nation. The Gentiles, the rest of the world, were all but pagans. They were not a nation. God said, I will make them jealous of the people who are not a nation. That they were a nation, they would be considered a foolish nation. Because they worship all sorts of things. I'm going to make them jealous of them. Because they are foolish. They are pagans. So Paul is writing Titus in Titus 3. Starting 3. He says, for we ourselves are once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hated by another. But by the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior appeared. He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. He poured out on us through faith in Jesus Christ our Savior. So, being justified by grace, we may become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We were foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Sounds a lot to me like a foolish nation.
Oh,
by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am. Nation that was not called by my name. I was ready for them to find me, even though they didn't look for me. Verse 21, because of Israel, he says, all day long I have held up my hand to a discipline contrary to them. Back to Romans 9. Romans 9, verse 30. What should we say then? The Gentiles who do not pursue righteousness and attainment, that is, righteousness by faith. But that in Israel, pursue the law that would lead to righteousness. If God succeeded in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the question is, do you believe in him? If you do, then you should be telling that to others. You should reach out to the world. You should have beautiful feet. You need people, then they're not going to be you or with God. If you explain to people, this is God, He's holy, He's righteous, you are a substitute. As the couple would say, you're a lying, thieving, adulterous, blasphemer at heart. Just like all wrestlers. But God can put that aside through Jesus, through the blood of Christ, shed on Calvary. God will no longer see your sin. What God will see is Christ's righteousness.
Who can conceive of this that makes us love? How sweet is
This is the very joy of the earth possessed in heaven. Yes, when he ascends the throne, we ascend with him. When the heavens ring with well done, well done, you will have a part of that reward. You have worked with him, you have suffered with him, you will now reign with him. You will sing with him, you will be with him. Your face was covered with sweat like his, and your soul, like him, was green from the sin of men. Now your face will be bright in heaven's splendor as is his countenance. Now your soul will be filled with heavenly joys, just as his soul is. Share your gospel. For most people, it's scary.
Oh, I found it.
Not so much because you're talking to somebody, but because you're worried about what they're going to think of it.
It's a little square.
They say that public speaking is the number one fear in the world. Even more than diet. I think personally, publicly speaking, to people about Christ is probably even scarier than most people. Some people, that's a bother, so how to do it. Others do it even though the news are scared. But the primary reason we need to do it is because Jesus loves us to. And as James said, if you know what you're supposed to do, this is God's perfect. If you know what you're supposed to do and you don't do it, it's a sin. So, you need to do that. Whether it's talking to people, whether it's in your tracks, in your three books, somehow you have to get your word out there to the lost world. Now, let me ask a question. How many of you wonder why there's a big two on the board behind you?
I put it up in my notes.
Every second, every day, every year, two people die. Heaven or hell. Thank you.